much new ground, we'll review some of the critical passages, but I just wanted to think a little bit more deeply about Yeravam, because he's such an outsized figure in terms of Jewish history, and again has this highly well-deserved, but highly ignominious reputation. But I think that we always do a little bit better to go a little bit deeper. Maybe that's a good tagline, but I really think it's true, to try to understand sort of what made a Yeravam tick. And that's really going to be the agenda tonight. So let me just say hello to Effie. Effie, are we coming through clear? Memorex level sound? Okay, excellent. All right, so Charlotte is enjoying that. It's great to see Charlotte, and we hope everybody's doing well. Nomi is here. Wonderful to see you again. It's been a little while, and Henry's back. So good to have you as well. Martin, under the code name Adele. Adele is Martin's better half, but sometimes he, incognito. So it's wonderful to see Leo and Eva. Daniel, great to see you as well. Ellie's right there in the middle. I think maybe somebody new joining us tonight. Not sure. Harriet, if you're there, welcome. And, Herb is just checking in. And, so just to review, what we spoke about last week, we talked about the idea of Lev Yeravam, which is the heart of the king, is always the sort of the critical piece. Quoted from the Rambam says, Al Hasaras Libo Hikbid Hakasav, that the Torah was very concerned about that. Lo Yasur Levavo Libo Hu Lev Kol Hakahal. See that Yeravam really had an opportunity to direct the vast majority of the Jewish people, both in terms of population, GDP, geography, etc., really had the opportunity to direct Klal Yisrael in a proper kivun, in a proper direction, and he took them in a very dangerous direction, and we should try to understand what was motivating that. So, last week we talked about two structural issues that Yeravam, really had to confront. One of them was this sense of insecurity vis-a-vis Malchus based David, and that will be brought to life by Chazal in, I think, a very, very, very particular way. And then, of course, in addition to that, the fact that it wasn't just a breakaway kingdom. Elishev, is so wonderful to see you. But the idea of Lo Halacha Yisrael, we talked about the antecedent. Chazal say that Sheva ben Bichri was Yeravam's father. That's a poetic way of saying that it's a continuation of that populist, sentiment, where it's not really about forming a strong alternative Malchus to the north, and that obviously hampers Yeravam's ability. But one of the gestures that we spoke about in terms of his sensitivity to this, and again, you could say many, many, many things about Yeravam, but you cannot say that he was a fool. That he certainly was not. Far from it, was the expulsion of the Kohanim. It's so wonderful to be together with Mom. The expulsion of the Kohanim is just in time. Mom pointed out last week that, that really the Kohanim were persona non grata for two distinct reasons. One of them, of course, is they reminded the people of the Mikdash, and that then highlighted Yeravam's vulnerability vis-a-vis Malchus Beis David. The second is that they were a huge tax burden, right? Trumos and Maisros and, the Matnos Kahuna Shebigvulin, Zroa L'Chayayim Keva, the whole story, Rashis Hages, Bechor, there's a lot of different things that maybe we don't think about as much, but, the fact of the matter is that this would be a very popular thing to do. You're taking these people who are, taking, at least 10%, really more than that, of what's being produced. And these are people who are very sensitive to, their financial situation. And Avicha Hichpida Suleino, they had told Shlomo, and, Rechavim very foolishly, in a very juvenile fashion, even infantile fashion, disregards what they have to say. Stiras Zekein and Binyan, as we talked about, Binyan Yeladim Stira. Listening to the Eladim was really a form of distraction. So, that's where we had carried things. I'd like to, again, highlight this evening how Chazal, in their own, inimitable way, sometimes poetic, were able to sort of get us inside the mind of a Yeravam ben Nevat, because, you know, again, it's always easy to try to vilify, especially people who deserve to be vilified. One of the, you know, the overarching principles, maybe the subtitle for this, you know, shir that thank God has been meeting now for many years on a weekly basis, is the Gemara in Megillah, which tells us Nevuah shenitzrcha ledaros nechtava. Nevuah shelo nitzrcha ledaros lo nechtava. That the principle in Tanakh, there were thousands and tens of thousands of Nevuos that were never canonized because they were idiosyncratic. They were particular to a particular generation. But the stories that we have are meant to highlight certain features of the human condition, of the human religious condition in particular, that really are midor ledor. These are things that apply in a transcendent, ubiquitous fashion. So with that, let me just share my screen. Effie, you'll give me the thumbs up if it's working. If not, you know, we'll go back to the drawing board. Good? Okay, fantastic. So the pasuk says that we read last week, Vayas Yeravam chag b'chodesh hashmini v'chamisha asar yom l'chodesh k'chag asher b'Yehuda v'yalam izbeach k'en asa b'veis el l'zabeach l'agalim asher asa v'amid b'veis el as ko'anei abamos asher asa. So again, you know, three levels of creativity would be a generous word, a deviation, right? The zman itself, the kedusha sazman, is betrayed. That's number one. Number two, kedushas hamakom is betrayed as well. This isn't Yerushalayim. This is, obviously Beit El. We talked about the idea that Beit El was, you know, before Yerushalayim, and maybe there's an aspiration towards authenticity there. And then, of course, the kedushas hagavra, the displacement of the kohanim. The Navi emphasizes, you know, this idea that Yeravam, who established this this chag, b'chodesh hashmini, the Yerushalmi comments on that, or expands, or amplifies the point. Amar Rab Abin Bar Kahana, af shabasos v'yamim tovim atzino shabada Yeravam milibo. That Yeravam's heart saw fit to expand not just this one holiday, but many holidays. Hadahi dechsev ayas Yeravam b'chodesh asher bada milibo, right? So again, that word milibo, right? Milvad ksev k'madat amar milvad shabsos Hashem. So that Yeravam, whether this is meant to be taken literally or figuratively, the idea is that he aspired to create a completely distinctive framework of kedushas hazman. And I think this is itself like a very profound insight, on the part of the Yerushalmi. Apparently what Yeravam understood was that it wouldn't really make any sense to have, like, you know, one holiday that was isolated from the entire rubric or framework of Kedushas Hazman. Just say good evening to Miriam, just checked in. The entire network, if you look in Parshas Emor and you look in Parshas Pinchas, Re'eh, a little bit in Mishpatim and Kisisa as well, which is the five different places in the Chumash where we find discussion of the holidays, so they always exist in a network. And there are different networks that are going on. For example, there's a cycle of the Chodesh HaShvi, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. There's a different cycle of the Shalosh Regalim, right? Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Sukkot is kind of a dual identity in the sense that it's the culmination of both. That's like a foundational piece of understanding what Chag HaSukkos, is looking to achieve. The special double simcha of Ach Sameach, Zman Simcha Senu, etc. But it's all predicated, as the song goes, Rishon Hu LeMikra'i Kodesh, right? Shabbos is the foundation of all Kedushas HaZman, of all sanctity of time. And Yeravam, Yerushalmi, but again, was no fool, very, very, very far from that, and understood that it didn't really make any sense to have like an isolated holiday in the eighth month, in the month of Cheshvan, that if you were really going to do this, you had to at least, aspire to create an entire new network of Mo'adim. right? The Moadim as they exist are not, you know, sort of, you know, siloed. They're all in dialogue with each other. Just to give one salient halachic example, a person, you know, vows to bring a karban. You know, so there's a mitzvah saseh, uvasa shama, vavesim shama. So they're supposed to bring the karban at the next regel, neder, nedava, voluntary offering. But they're not considered to be in violation of the Torah until three holidays have passed, until three regalim have passed, and the way that we understand, there are many different opinions of the Gemara, but three regalim in order, right? So it has to be starting with Bechag HaMatzos, Bechag HaShavuos, Bechag HaSukos. So Yeravam knew that, you know, for there to be any sense of authenticity, any sense of, you know, genuine quality to his framework, it had to be part of something that was comprehensive. And so this is where he started. But that, you know, Yeravam wasn't, again, approaching things in a, you know, haphazard way, but there was, you know, a much deeper, more coherent and more cohesive plan. That's not a, I'm not trying to compliment him. I'm just trying to describe, you know, a little bit about the way that he thinks, which I think is very important. Because again, we can say many, many critical things about Yeravam, and we should, the paradigmatic machtias harabim, but at the same time, right, you don't get to be a machtias harabim, you don't get to have that kind of cachet. Influence, negative influence, is still a reflection of influence without having a certain persona. And those are some, you know, really important elements to pay attention to and sort of to be on the lookout for. Let's move to the next indication. Effie, we're still good? This is... Okay, excellent. So as I alluded to last time, so I wanted to take a look at some psukim from the 10th chapter of Devar Yamim Perek Devar Yamim Beis. HaKohanim Alevim Asher B'chol Yisrael, it's in the fourth source, Hetziatzva Alev Mikol Gvulam, Ki Azva Alevim Es Migrishayim V'Achuzasam B'Yolchul Yudav L'Yushalayim, Ki Hizniham Yiravam Uvanav Mikahem L'Adonai. So again, for all intents and purposes, Yiravam expelled the Kohanim and the Levim, right, from the northern part of Israel. So what happened was, is that these individuals, again, with their many, 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 many cities, dozens of cities, right now, they essentially abandoned them, and they go to the southern part of Israel. So, you know, just in the last few years, right, we've all seen different points in time, you know, refugees, this is, you know, hardly in the numbers that, you know, we see, you know, unfortunately today in Eastern Europe. But the point is that there's an influx of people to the south. And now, all of a sudden, you know, there's plenty of, you know, cities and room to take over in the north. And this is all to be understood as part of Yeravam's, you know, campaign to, you know, give people what they wanted. V'acharei mikol shiftei Yisrael hanosnim es levavam levakeshes Adonai lehi Yisrael. It wasn't only the Kohanim and Levim, but anybody who, you know, sort of gave their heart, that's always the word that's associated with the Mikdash, even going back to the Mishkan, the very beginning of the presentation of the Mishkan in Parshas Truma, Kol Isha Sher Yidvenu Libo Tikhu Es Truma Si. So there were people that left, you know, the people that crossed the border from north to south, and they wanted to be affiliated with the Beis HaMikdash, they wanted to be affiliated with Yerushalayim, they sought association with Malchus Beis David, all of these things. Vayichasku es Malchus Yehuda, vayamtu es Rechava men Shlomo, l'shanim shalosh, ki halchu b'derech David u'Shlomo, l'shanim shalosh. Right, and they sort of gave new life, a sense of invigoration to Rechavam, you know, who obviously was very much on the back foot in light of everything that had transpired at the, you know, incipient phases of his malchus. Okay, so now we take a look at some, you know, more extended passages from the Gemara and Sanhedrin that I think help us develop a more comprehensive portrait of Yeravam ben Nevat. This is here the fifth source. It's from the Gemara and Sanhedrin Kof Beis. These all essentially from the same section of that Gemara, though. You know, I sort of spliced out certain pieces in different order to try to highlight points in a more maybe logical presentation. So the psukim that we had already seen when Yeravam is first encountered by Achia Hashiloni, Vayimso so Achia Hashiloni and Avi Baderech, Vehum Iskaseh Basalma Chadasha, Ushneim Levadam Basada. Am I Basalma Chadasha? What is this new shirt? So Rav Nachman Kisalma Chadasha, Masalma Chadasha Ein Bashum Dofi. Right, the new shirt hopefully doesn't have any stains, doesn't have any tears, or rips. Af Soraso Shal Yeravam. That Yeravam's Torah learning, as a reflection of his intellect and prowess in that area, was flawless. Dvaracher Salma Chadasha Shechid Shudvarim Shelo Shama Ozen Meolam. That when you put Achia Shiloni and Yeravam Ben Nevat in the same field, if not in the same yeshiva. You put them in the same field, then the result were immense chidushe Torah. And of a piece with that, and then we'll take a step back to kind of discuss. Mayu shneim levadam basadeh. What does it mean? They alone, they too were alone in the field. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, shekol tamidei chachamim, that all of the other scholars of the generation who were impressive, in an objective sense, but in a relative sense were really, absolutely nothing relative to who they were. Shekol talmidei chachamim domim lifnayim ki izbe hasada. They were like grass of the field. Vika da'amar shekol tamei Torah megulim lahem kisada. That they understood all of the inner workings of Torah. So, again, Chazal, who did not, go out of their way to be, complimentary of Yeravam ben Nevat. They're not doing this to, get on his good side. But what Chazal are acknowledging is that Yeravam was an undisputed Torah leader of the generation, okay, which is an important distinction because it reminds us that that alone is insufficient. Yiraso kodemes lechachmaso chachmaso miskayemes, right? It's insufficient, but it was a massive criterion that he had. People saw him as head and shoulders, above his contemporaries in terms of, his Torah personality. So it may seem, entirely bizarre, almost to the point of being incredible, in the literal sense of the term, non-believable, that people could have gone along, with the idea of a person who wants to create an entire new framework of Kedushas Hazman, right, of holidays, even displacing, Shabbosos v'yamim tovim and developing his own, model. But you have to understand that this person was seen as unrivaled as a Torah authority. This is an important idea, right? People would have simply laughed if he had been anything less, but he wasn't. And that's part of what makes it so insidious. It's the people who, have certain talents, certain abilities that can present, the greatest complication. And that's a big part of, this story. And Chazal captured that again in just these incredibly poetic but extremely precise, agados that we're about to see, how people thought about Yeravam ben Nevat and how people were taking in, even people who were, truly, great individuals. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, this you have in the sixth source, Amar Rav Chinina bar Papa, kol anena min olam hazeh b'lo bracha, person who benefits from this world without, reciting a bracha. It's a Gemara that comes up in Brachos, beginning of Ketzer Mevorchen also. Kilu gozo la kadosh baruch hu knesses Israel. Shenemar gozo avi v'imo ve'omer ein posheya chaver hu li'ish maschis. This person is a friend, an associate of the destructive man. Ve'ein avi v'la kadosh baruch hu shenemar halu avicha kanecha ein imo al knesses Israel. Shenemar shema b'ni usar avicha al titos tera simecha. My chaver hu li'ish maschis. This person who doesn't acknowledge, God's sovereignty, does not recite brachos. He's an associate of Yeravam ben Nevat, the Ish Mashchis, the destructive man, Shehishchis Yisrael Avim Sheva Shemayim. who caused the Jewish people to lose their relationship with, you know, God in heaven. So part of that, of course, is, you know, cutting the Jewish people off, you know, from the Mikdash. So Pasuk says, "Vayidach Yiravam es Yiravam es Yisrael me'achrei Hashem ve'achtiyam chata gdola am Reb Chanan kishtei maklos hamatizo zoet zoet." It's one stick sort of smacking into the other one, which then, as a domino effect, causes things to fall. So I think this image is also really worth reflecting on. So let me just open it up at this point before we take the next step in the Gemara. What's the sort of like the association of Yeravam as somebody who, like, this wouldn't be on the top 10 list of his averos, you know, he wasn't making brachos. Chaver hu li'ish mashchis. The person who's nena min olam hazeh below bracha. What is, like, the, you know, the essence of a bracha? What is the essential point when a person recites a bracha, particularly within the framework of, you know, birchos hanen, in brachos that are recited before benefiting from the world? Ruthie, go ahead. You, I think Ruthie wanted to say something. What's the Yeravam ben Nevat association?
In terms of brachot, I was going to say the essence is, I guess, recognizing Hashem and what he, in terms of brachos hanen, and what he provides us with in this world. So I guess connected to Yeravam, that it's like he's omitting God from the equation.
Yeah. Right. So I don't think I could add much to that. I would affiliate myself with those remarks. I think that's really the idea. We have this, you know, fascinating discussion in brachos in general about what are the essential components, and we understand that both shem and malchus are sine qua non, right? Utterly essential, both to acknowledge God, but specifically God as master of the universe, right? And Yeravam, right, in essence, right, wants to, at the very least, raise a question mark about that. And Yeravam's idea, in terms of creating this entirely new framework of Kedushas HaZman, an entirely new framework of, you know, who can serve as Kohanim, the instinct to do so was one of self-preservation and populism and all the things that we discussed, but ultimately required him to cross a kind of an internal Rubicon, where he was prepared to, you know, challenge at a very foundational level the idea of Malchus Shamayim and the sovereignty of God and the idea of submission. And that's a very important point, that he had to get to that place. And that might be, that might seem trivial or self-evident if you were talking about, you know, just a kind of a boorish individual. But here you're talking about the man who Chazal understood to be the Gadol Hador, to be the unparalleled, unrivaled Torah leader of the generation. And yet he had to be able to internally get to that place, which is a pretty far place to get to. There aren't so many analogous figures in Tanakh where we can say that about them. So,
and he manages to take the entire Klal Yisrael, except for the Levim, to follow along with him, all because of the money issue.
Okay,
it's kind of shocking that everyone throw everything away because of money, except for Shevet Levi, which is usually the ones that object.
Yeah, they usually do, right? they're not typically willing to go along with the Avodah Zarah. Yeah, yeah. So Effie, and that's exactly the point that we want to try to get across. So there's the next Gemara I wanted to show is really about that. And it's about how people go along with things. And it seems totally incomprehensible after the fact. But in, you know, real time, you know, it actually is a phenomenon. And that's part of what we mean by Nevua Shenitzrach HaLedor. So I wasn't going to do it this way, but Effie, since you asked, I'm just going to skip one paragraph and then I will circle back because it's really essential. I can't omit it. But Effie, can you see where my cursor is, where it says my vayivat?
Yeah, my vayivat.
Okay, yep. Yeah. So it's okay. So what does it mean vayivat? That he took counsel. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda. That, and I think this is meant to be understood allegorically. I just want to try to interpret it. So shehoshiv rasha yitzol tzaddik. So he sits down this wicked person with the righteous person. So amar lahu, he says chasmisu al kol de'avidna. So he says, I want you to sign on everything that we're about to do. So amar lahu, hey, so you know, they're not going to be morid b'malchus. They're not going to be renegades against royal authority. So they agree. So amar lahu malka b'ino lemehavi. So he says to them, I wish to be a king. So Amr lehu hein, Amr lehu hein. So okay, so fine. So they sign on that. So kol de'amin alechu aved tu. Says, and that therefore everything that I tell you to do, you shall do. So Amr lehu hein. They say, okay. You know, that's comes with the territory. So afilu lemiflach leavodas kochavim. Will you follow me there? Right, Afi. This is like directly to your point, even for idolatry. So Amr lehu tzaddik chas v'shalom. So the righteous person says, that's where I draw the line, right? Yaharig v'alyavu. So Amrle Rasha letzadik. So the wicked person said to the righteous person, Salka daitach the gavra ki Ravam plachla avodas kochavim. You think Yeravam, the gadol hador, is going to worship avodah zara? It's obviously just his way of establishing sort of the outer boundaries of your loyalty. Ella the mensinuhu de kabai is just testing you. So ikablisu the memra. Right? Are you willing to listen to him? Right? Ve'af, this is, you know, Effie may be the most important part. Achya Shiloni ta'a v'chasam. And that other great figure, right, the Navi, Achya Shiloni, who was, you know, the only one that you could put in his mechitza, the only one you could put in his league, you know, with respect to, you know, Limud HaTorah and Chiddush HaTorah and that marvelous image in Chazal of, you know, Shnehem Levadam Basadeh, those two were all alone, you know, far above anybody else, right? So Achya Shiloni went along with it also. It was incomprehensible to him, unfathomable is probably a better way of saying it, unfathomable that Yeravam would actually, you know, go ahead into this area. So, you know, Effie, the point is that, you know, people do go along with lots of things, and what seems totally incredulous, you know, one day, you know, sometime later, you know, we become desensitized and habituated to it. And that's a very important part of life in general. Things that, you know, just seem totally shocking and completely unrealistic in any sense, you know, happen. And then, you know, people, you know, acclimate. That's, you know, part of what it means. It could be very adaptive and helpful and to sort of deal with the surroundings that exist around us. And at the same time, right, it you know, is an important danger to be aware of. So Yeravam, right, in a certain sense, benefited here from the fact that people could not believe that he would actually go ahead, you know, and do these things and construct an entire new you know, schedule of Mo'adim, or construct Eglei HaZahav. And Achya Shiloni, great people, you know, went along with this because, you know, their idea was that, you know, here's a person that is an authoritative individual. and so not just anybody can be Mach Ties HaRabim. You have to be a person of stature and of you know very significant credentials. to that point, you know, Chazal, just going to the previous paragraph, the part that we skipped over, Amr of Nachman, Gasus Haruach Shahiya Babi Yeravam Tirdaso Mina Olam. That ultimately it was Yeravam's, you know, ego, his pursuit of kavod, that was his, like, you know, fatal flaw. So Amar Gemiri, this is again highly illustrative. De Nishiva Beazar Lamalche Beis Yehuda Bilvad. So there is a halacha that everybody has to stand in the Azara and the Beis Hamikdash, with the exception of the king. And when we say the king, we mean Malche Beis Dav. So Kevan de Chazulei L'Rechavam de Yasiv. So he said to himself, so what's going to happen if I allow the people to be Ola L'Regel, the people to go to Jerusalem for the holidays? So they're going to see that Rechavam is sitting down, as is the norm, as is the halacha. The chazulei the Rechavam, the yasev, the anaka midna, right? Savri hamalka v'ha'avda. Everybody is going to see me standing, and they're going to say, this is the king, and this guy is, Yeravam is just a lackey. V'yasivna, and if I'll sit down to equate myself to Rechavam, mori b'malchus havi v'kadlanli, so then he'll rightly consider me to be in rebellion, and he'll be within his rights to kill me. V'azlu basrei, and so then I'll lose everything. So miyad v'yivat samelach v'yash ne'egle zav, v'yomer lihem rav lacham y'alos yushalayim, this is the Korach language, hinei elohachli yisrael asher lucham eretz yisrayim, v'yasem esachad b'veisel v'esachad nasan bidan. So the amazing thing about, you know, Yeravam's policy, and you know, this is a national policy, a far-reaching national policy of severing the Jewish people from Yerushalayim, Hir HaKodesh, from the Mikdash, is the extent to which it revolves around him. I mean, who could believe that a person would undertake an entire policy that completely changes, you know, the trajectory of the Jewish people and their, you know, religious identification for totally narcissistic reasons? Kachava, but that's exactly what happened. Yeravam couldn't, you know, bear the thought of Rechavam, you know, sitting in the Azara, as is the halacha, and he would then have to stand, and what that would mean for him. And so, you know, he, this is Chazal say, the pathology of kavod, of narcissism. A person, even a person of great achievement, as Yeravam was from a particular point of view, person can be so beset and corrupted by kavod, the need for kavod, redifas hakavod, that they engage in, you know, these utterly destructive policies that impact millions of people, an entire nation, for reasons that originate, you know, having to do with their own sense of prestige. And this is something that I think Chazal and the Navi wanted very much to warn us about, is that the powers of ego are almost limitless in this regard. And how dangerous that can be. So Effie, you know, back to your point, you know, people went along with it in large measure because of who he was, and Achia HaShiloni went along with it. And at the same time, you know, go along with what? The whole thing was, you know, so much in the end about him. You know, and that itself is, you know, is a very, very, very dangerous thing. And that's something that, you know, we'll get back to at the end, because I think that's really one of the, like, the critical messages. And Ruthie, back to your point, which I continue to affiliate myself with, that's the idea of, right, that somebody who won't make a bracha, somebody who refuses to acknowledge Malchus Shamayim, where basically what he's saying is that, you know, I'm the king, and if I'm going to be the king, then I can't ever be seen in a compromised or a vulnerable position. And so if it means if I have to cut the Jewish people off from the Mikdash because it would create an awkward situation for me personally, then that's what I'm going to do, because, you know, sort of that's what motivates me, sort of how it impacts me. It's, the limitless power of ego. Okay, so continuing on in the Gemara, so this is the right after the ellipses here, then we'll try to wrap things up. We actually haven't gotten up to that pasuk, but it was appropriate to include tonight. So my achar, so Amar Baba, achar shetfaso kadosh baruch hu. So things were going off the rails, and Yeravam had kicked out all the Kohanim and Levim, and he had established these Eglei Zahav, and he was making up his own holidays and everything. So as a last-ditch effort, so Chazal say that Hashem tried to, this is what would be called an intervention in modern terminology. So Hashem staged an intervention. So Tfaso HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yeravam, so Hashem grabs, right, Yeravam bevigdo, v'amar lo chazor becha. So he says, repent, right? Chazor becha. V'ani v'ato ben Yishai n'tayel b'gan Eden. And what will happen then is you, Yeravam, me, God, and Ben Yishai, meaning only David. Forget about Shlomo. Forget about Rechavam. He's not even Lo Ba B'Cheshbon, right? You're on this rarefied Mezumin, not even a minion, right? V'aniv Ato Ben Yishai in the tail beGan Eden. So we're going to go to Gan Eden. So Amar Lo, so Yeravam had to think about it a little bit. And he said, Mi Varosh. So who gets to go first? So Hashem answered, honestly, he says, Ben Yishai Barosh. So Yeravam's answer is, Yihachi lo ba'ina. No thanks. So, you know, I can't be second fiddle to anybody. So again, you're saying you're putting them in the, whatever, the top three, if you want to count God. If you want to count God as a, you know, supernal being, and so whatever, you're in the top two, you know. What's the point of the Agada? So the Agada is saying something, you know, profound. The Agada is telling us is that for Yeravam, ego was bottomless, was limitless, and that God, even after all of his, right, miscreants and deviation, offered him everything essentially. Right, it said, okay, but you know, David will have to go first. But you know, you're there. You know, we can work with this. And Yeravam's idea was the same Yeravam who couldn't fathom, you know, standing in the presence of the Hazar. Yeah, Eva, I think you do want to say something. I saw you. Is that yeah?
No, I was welcoming the aid. It just came in.
Oh, okay. All right. My apologies. So the point is that, you know, what Yeravam is incapable of suffering, you know, even the most, what would seem to be the most minor, you know, somebody else would, could write home, you know, you'll never believe it, I was welcomed, you know, with God himself and David Ben Yishai into paradise, you know, I think I'm doing pretty well in the, you know, amongst the billions of humans on planet Earth, but for him, you know, it's v'cholze and then shoveli. You know, v'cholei sasher ani roes Mordechai Yehudi yoshev b'shar hamelach. There's the sense of bottomless redifas hakavod that just consumes him, right? Imkain lo ba'ina. So, Yeravam is a person of enormous talent. Yeravam is a person of true greatness, right? Of spiritual greatness, and at the same time, right? That becomes, you know, his total undoing, because that doesn't give him, you know, a greater sense of reverence, or a sense of let me try to use this in service of, you know, some greater, more noble cause, right? It just becomes, you know, completely self-serving, and he's unable to extract himself from that pathology. It's really interesting. I noticed this yesterday for the first time. I hadn't been aware of this comment, but you know, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, I was, you know, thinking more and more about this. So the Mishnah in Perkei Avos is this famous comment of Reb Lazar HaKapar, Kina ve'ataiva ve'akavod motzina so'adam min ha'olam, that, you know, jealousy and unbridled desire, uncontrolled desire, and, you know, pursuit of honor, ego, you know, destroy a person's world. So the Tosfos Yamtif, Reb Yamtif Lipman Heller, I hadn't been aware of this. I was just looking around yesterday and I was thinking about this Mishnah. Just comments on the spot. You know, if you want a sort of proof that kavod can destroy a person and, you know, a lot else in its wake, mi Yeravam. You know, that Yeravam literally is the, you know, sort of the embodiment of this particular pathology. Shenemar miyala hamazeh liYerushalayim, because he couldn't bear, right, the what he would perceive as the assault on his kavod of Ein Yeshiva Be'azara L'malchei Beis David Bilvad, again highlighted by this idea of Ben Yishai Barosh Ihachi, you know, Lo Ba'ina. So Nevuah Shenitzrucha L'Doros Nechtava, as we said, I think it's worth maybe, you know, concluding with a note that, Charlotte, it says, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No,
I just
please.
A hard time seeing where someone who was really an Eved Hashem makes such a transition to be someone totally different besides, you know, I don't know. I guess I just don't see in the plot line where this quest for power corrupts him.
Yeah.
Is there anything there?
Right. So, Charlotte, I don't know that I would call him, you know, an Eved Hashem. I think he was a person of, you know, very impressive credentials and a very effective person. And obviously, as we see, you know, an extremely learned person, singularly learned person. But I think that there's a couple of things to say. One is, if you remember, you know, Yeravam's first, well, anybody happen to remember? What was like the first thing that Yeravam did that sort of marked his arrival? This is before he flees to Mitzrayim, but remember he does something which Chazal say was a double-edged sword. For this, he earned the Malchus, and for this, you know, ultimately he lost it. What was the... And I think you can really see the core of Charlotte's question here. What was that? What did he do? Remember that he was so outraged that Shlomo did what? And he...
Avodah Zarah, and had places for people to worship outside, right, so, the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah. So that's where I'm missing. Because he was compared to, like, having that connection like David did.
Well, right. So generally true, just a little bit more specific. Remember that he was very critical of Shlomo for building a space in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim, for Bas Paro, right? This, specifically the space that his father had left empty so that people could be Ola L'Regel, right? And Yeravam was outraged by this, and the Gemara says he rightly gave Tochacha to Shlomo, but he did so publicly. And so the Gemara says he earned the Malchus because he rightly gave Tochacha for a horrible breach of Kvod Shamayim and Kvod Hatzibur. And at the same time, right, the fact that he did it publicly, right, without any regard for a sense of propriety, a sense of place, after all, this is the Melech, even if he did something wrong. So that was considered to be. So I think what you see there is the complexity of the personality. On the one hand, there is truly righteous indignation, and justly so, at what Shlomo was doing, le'es ziknaso. But b'chad amachta, at the same time, right, a sense of self-aggrandizement and not understanding his place, you know, vis-a-vis, you know, who the person who was still the Melech at the time. So I'm just pointing out that, you know, people of great talent and people who have you know, enormous abilities, as Yeravam do, are, you know, can go in a number of different ways with this. And Yeravam, sadly, you know, starts off as somebody who, at least in part, even if he's over zealous about it and lacks a sense of perspective in terms of Tochacha Berabim, but Yeravam, right, when he first enters that space of Malchus and asks himself, how in the world am I going to hold on to this? And the answer is not, well, maybe I won't. Okay, so maybe the people will decide to get back with Malchay based on it. So he can't abide that. And he starts to create a framework and policies that will then, Charlotte, right, make that impossible. So cut the people off from, you know, the Beis HaMikdash, and then that will require displacement of the Kohanim. And now he has to, one thing leads to another, now he has to create a whole new framework in terms of Kedusha Sazman, right, as, you know, Mo'adim Muzmanim. But what's at the core of that? So Chazal, with, you know, absolute perspicacity, are able to drill into that and say, yeah, what's at the core of that was that in the end... So a healthy person would say, okay, so if they went back to Malchus Beis David, if that's what they want, fine. So that's okay. You know, Achya HaShiloni, by the way, had told him that that wasn't going to happen, but he couldn't trust that. And it wasn't an accident that he couldn't trust that, because the idea of a loss of power and the idea of a loss of a sense of displacement is so threatening to him. Because he needs that, if God tells him that he'll be in the top three, God included, right? Then his question is, but will I be number one, right? And ihachi lo ba'ina, I can't, So this is right the form of self-worship, and healthy people don't need to have for a sense of validation to have some kind of a fancy title, a fancy the fanciest title, the fanciest position, the biggest X, the why is he so? Yeravam is this cautionary tale, really, of a person who, in the end, couldn't. Ruthie, back to your point, who couldn't submit to Malchus Shamayim, and ultimately, came to believe that the most important thing was a projection of his own power. Tosfos Yamtiv says that's what we mean when we say a kavod motzi es adam min ha'olam. You take a person of such impressive credentials, who destroys himself. Because of kavod. Again, kavod can strike people of much less impressive credentials. But the point is that kavod is powerful enough to take down a person of greatness. So here, I just wanted to conclude by noting a certain irony. And I'm not going to go too far over. I could just one more minute and go over time. But I just want to make a point here. It's I think that this does come up historically. So the irony of Yeravam is, of course, Yeravam was supposed to be the antidote to Shlomo, right? That was the whole origin story. So this is so often the case in life. I was listening to this podcast that I like to listen to. Documentary interviews. This is not in the Apple top 5 or top 500. It's listening to somebody who spends his life studying, modern Iran, talk about what was going on there, and interesting to me. Let's put it that way. So he's talking about these. This is the irony of that what happened in the 1970s is the Shah was highly disconnected from people, and had enriched himself and surrounded himself with, people were in a very bad way, and he was completely, it so enclosed himself in a bubble with a repressive regime to suppress the people, and so the Iranian Revolution responds to that. And then, they turn into the Shah. Okay, so they're more religious or whatever, but, to enrich themselves and take all the money in the country and, people upset and, don't have what they need. And so then they have repressive police that go out and kill people. So, history is filled with this. So you have a person, you have Shlomo as a person of enormous talent, an enormous chachma. And then decides, right? Ani arbe v'lo asur. So I don't really have to follow the Torah because I'm sort of above that, all right? I'm incorruptible. And we know what happens. And his malchus collapses, and Yeravam emerges. And then you have Yeravam, this person of enormous talent, not the chacham of Shlomo's stature, but maybe in terms of his learning, even more impressive in some level. Right, and he thinks to himself, and he says, "Well, I can't be second fiddle to anybody." So it's slightly distinctive, but the broader patterns are really one and the same. A person, at some point decides that Malchus Shamayim is sort of like Malchus Shamayim, but not for him. Right, and Yarbe v'lo asur, I'll do my own thing. And Yeravam said, I'm not so interested in having somebody sit in the Azara if that comes at my expense. And I'm not so interested in, being Mitael with the Kaddish Baruch Hu and Ben Yishai and Gan Eden if I'm not going to be the first. And this is a very painful irony in life, which is that the corrective takes on exactly the form of the problem. The corrective becomes the problem. And this is something that we have to be aware of. In that respect, as we go forward with the story of Yeravam and his successors in terms of Malchus Yisrael, a lot of it comes back to this exact point, that Malchus Yisrael emerged as a response to Shlomo's failure to understand the true meaning of Malchus Shamayim, and they're never fully able to, from this moment, to internalize what that might mean. So, again, this is something, Nevuah Shenitzrach L'Doros Nechtava, the idea of the solution taking on the almost the exact mold, the exact form of the problem. I think that's something which Chazal wanted us to understand very deeply. Yeravam is the antagonist, the antidote to Shlomo, supposed to be, and becomes in many ways beset, not less with taiva, more with kavod, but ultimately kena taiva veha kavod, motzien es ha'adam in ha'olam. They're equally corrosive, equally insidious, equally corrupting forces. Okay, so God willing, we'll pick it up there. Thanks for the extra few minutes to get that point across. We'll pick it up there, God willing, going deeper into this story a week from tonight.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a great night, everybody.
Thank you.
Tonight's Learn Together. You. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.